Hello, Redemption Church. Blessings to you, and I am grateful for this opportunity to share the word of God with you. Blessings to you, to your pastor, to your leadership, to your members, and to friends who may be visiting on this Sunday. I first learned of you via my friendship with Steve and Susie Colby. Bless them. They're people who I love quite a bit. I prayed for wisdom as your pastor. I've been in a covenant group, a meeting group with him for over 25 years. And as he heard and got to know you and was praying through his call, a call to your congregation, I and others prayed with him for God's wisdom. It seems that God was wise enough to bring you both together. That's great. Had an enjoyable time with you in the summer of 2019 when I and other friends of mine and his, we all came to visit him, to support him as he works with you and as God works with you all there. A great time. And I'm grateful for this opportunity to share the word of God with you as the word of God works on me and as it works on you and as we seek to be God's people together. Good day to you. You probably heard a little bit about me. I have worked with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship for over 35 years. I have responsibilities both locally in our work here in Northern California, in Hawaii, and also in Northern Reno, and also have some national responsibilities where I help us think about diversity and think about difference as we relate to race and ethnicity and gender and culture and age and other aspects of diversity as God has made us to be a diverse people. As you know, InterVarsity's vision, especially we in the United States specifically, is to see college students and faculty transformed, campuses renewed, and world changers developed. And you know about the importance of the college and university world. It's an influential world where it brings positive or negative influence in our communities. I mean, you've got, you know, UVC, Regent College, and other local institutions that I know you care about and that you're connected to. I graduated from the American Baptist Seminary of the West over 20 years ago. It's now known as the Berkeley School of Theology. And within my Baptist tradition, I am ordained in my local Baptist congregation. So that's a little bit about me. I just want to let you know there's not some hackney guy coming in preaching, hopefully. Why did I even say that? Anyway, I pray that God's word goes deep in you, goes deep in me, as we seek to be God's people together. Allow me to read from some verses from Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. First verses 3 through 5, then verses 28 through 31. Verse 3 reads, "A voice cries out, 'In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.'" Then on to verse 27. "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, 'My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God'? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Allow me to share for a little while on what does it mean to wait on God. Reflections from Isaiah 40. Wait on God. Reflections from Isaiah 40. So you've been looking at this theme of waiting on God. You've explored all these passages, Genesis, Matthew, 1 Samuel, other passages that talk about what it means to wait on God. I have personally been touched in this season by Isaiah chapter 40 through 55. And in this season, as Pastor Barry offered me the opportunity to share and to preach to your congregation, I said, God, is there something in Isaiah 40 through 55 that deals with waiting with you? And God said, yep, there is. So I'm sharing that with you in this time. The context of this passage is this is the mid-6th century BCE. Judah is in an exile based on God's judgment. They are now being ruled by the Babylonians. But Isaiah 40 through 55, God is giving a new message in the midst of their exile. A message for meant to be an encouragement for people who are in exile. People who are in judgment and who have been pushed away. And people who are probably asking questions like, where is God? Do we follow God, Yahweh, our God? Or do we maybe switch over to the seemingly more powerful gods here in Babylon? What is God's will for us? Are we under God's judgment? How do we live in the midst of these trying circumstances? And how much longer will these trying circumstances last? Thus comes these first words from Isaiah chapter 40 to God's people. The words that God tells Isaiah to say to the people who are in exile. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term and that her penalty has been paid. So as we consider waiting on God from Isaiah 40, I have two reflections for us. Forgive me, I'm not being a good Baptist preacher, because good Baptist preachers always have 3 points. But I just got two today. That's what the scriptures say. That's what I try to follow. 2 points. The first point, in waiting for God, prepare the way. In waiting for God, prepare the way. When I turned 30, I went through an existential crisis. It was the summer of 1993. I was serving as a director of a program, a student training program, and an urban service program here in my hometown in Oakland. I was on the floor of an apartment with 5 other college guys, and we were wrestling because that's what college guys do. And I was their leader, an intervarsity staff worker, and we were having fun and things like that on my 30th birthday. And as my birthday came, all of a sudden a switch snapped in my head. It clicked in my head. And long forgotten plans that I had before my 30th birthday, they all flooded my mind. You know, and phrases and things that said things like, by the time I'm 30, I will have my own place and it'll be absolutely fabulous. By the time I'm 30, I will be making a decent salary, if not a crazy salary. By the time I'm 30, I will be moving up in my organization and will be a mid-range, if not a high-range leader. By the time I'm 30, I will be married. Just to be clear, all those different factors were not happening, at least to the expectation I had when I made those words come up in my head about, you know, the place I lived and my salary and my role in the organizations I work for. And I was definitely not married. I wasn't even dating at that time. And I began to ask the question, so God, what's going wrong? God, what have I done wrong? God, there's a miss here. What's part of the miss? And so as I was pondering this and thinking about this, God spoke to me, you know, after a few weeks. And God said, Phil, have you left the faith? I said, oh no, God, I have not left the faith. I've sought to be faithful, to follow you wherever you lead me. God, Phil, have you regularly sought my will for your life? I thought, yeah, pretty much. That's why I'm here wrestling on the floor with these college guys, and I'm trying to help them be leaders and to serve after they graduate, especially in places around the world, especially urban places. Phil, have you been regularly living in sin? Oh God, not regularly. I am a sinner saved by your grace, and I have my struggles, but I've sought to live a holy life, a life you're called me to. Phil, are there others who love me who are an active part of your life. I said, oh yeah. I mean, people at my church, people who I work with, my own family, my own blood relations, they seek to follow you and we seek to follow you together. And then God said, Phil, what are you complaining about? And I thought, I guess I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing and I'm waiting on you and I'm following you as I should, so I guess I had no complaints. And so I sought to turn off that switch and say, switch, God is faithful. Don't believe the hype. Maybe God's preparing me for something, or maybe I'm living in the preparation God has for me. You know, and I'm not against having your own place or getting married and things like that. Those things are fine. Those things are good. But, you know, sometimes when we're living our lives, God is preparing something in us and through us, and it don't exactly look like what we think it's supposed to look like, and things don't move the way that we think they're supposed to move, but God is preparing something in us, putting something through in us, and we're waiting on God in the midst of that stage of life. Verse 3 says, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. So when we wait, we live that life of preparation, that life of faithfulness. We stay faithful to God, and even better, God will stay faithful to us, even as we wait. Now, it's interesting, waiting on God, there are different ways to think about what it means to wait on the Lord. You know, there is a very biblical, traditional way of thinking about it that, you know, we pause, we stay, we delay until something happens, until God moves. God says, wait. There's also, in the scriptures, waiting as we think acting as a server, acting as a waiter or as a waitress. We're waiting on God. We're at God's beck and call, depending on where God leads us and where God guides us. And in both ways, the call for us is one, don't seek to make things happen apart from God. Like Pastor Barry preached on last week with Abraham and Sarah and Hagar and Ishmael. You know, if you don't hear from God, don't move. Stay. Wait. And there's also the idea of serving. Serve the Lord with gladness in your regular life. As God speaks to you and as God has spoken to you in the past, just keep doing it. Live a life of faithfulness. Prepare your heart. And live in that preparation that God has called you to just in regular life, you know? God has called me, for example, to be generous. The love of money is the root of all evil. And I think that if I am not careful, I will love money and evil will be rooted in my heart as I share about my own sin in the midst of this. And so I keep $5 bills in my wallet. And God has spoken to me many, many years ago and says, whoever asks you for money, give it to them, no matter what. And so if I'm walking through downtown Oakland and there's a person without a house or whomever who says, hey, can I get some money? I typically will pull out my wallet, and as long as I have $5 bills, I will give it one to that person. And if there's another one, I'll give $5 to that person. And I'll keep doing it until I run out of money, run out of fives. And I keep some fives around so I can replenish my wallet with $5 bills. It is God's call to me. It is a way that I prepare my heart. It is a way that I keep faithfulness to God in the midst of whatever God has called me to. You know, I don't waste my time and energy being anxious as I wait for God. And I encourage you to do the same. You know, keep pausing and waiting, holding back as God calls you, and then keep waitering and waitressing with God as God has called you to. That's what it means to prepare the way, to live that kind of faithfulness in whatever God may have for you in the now and maybe in a future something or other that God may have. But you just wait on God. Wait on God. That's my first point. And my second and final point is simply this. In waiting on God, remember. In waiting on God, remember. Remember verse 21 from Isaiah. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you now understood from the foundations of the earth? In verse 23, I didn't read these verses, but they're from Isaiah. They're from this chapter of Isaiah 40. Verse 23 says, it is he who brings princes to naught and makes rulers of the earth as nothing. In these verses, God reminds the exiles of God's sovereignty. God reminds the exiles of God's power. And God speaks very specifically, he who brings princes to naught and makes rulers of the earth as nothing, that's their history in Egypt. When God called them out of Egypt, and one of the most powerful nations on earth was brought to their knees because of Yahweh and Yahweh's love for Yahweh's people and because of Yahweh's judgment against Egypt. A message that was known all throughout that world of what God did. Remember, remember, remember. What should we remember? What should we remember? You know, stories of God's faithfulness, God's deliverance, God's power, God's sustenance, even God's presence. Remember those stories. Those stories as laid out in scriptures. That's why we read the Bible on our own, and we preach the Bible when we come to church, because they're pictures of what, as God relates to God's people, of his presence and faithfulness and deliverance and things like that. What God does to a people that God says are mine. You're my people. And we are God's people too. And as God took care of them, God will take care of us. Also, but not just stories from the scriptures, which are really important, but what are your personal stories of God doing things in your life? What is your own personal history? You know, I know stories of my grandfather over 100 years ago walking to Sunday school in the back roads of, I think they were in Earl, Arkansas, and talks about how he used to walk those roads going to Sunday school because he wanted to follow Jesus. And I know the stories of my mother and father. My father was the superintendent of Sunday school at our church, and my mom was a teacher. And my dad would help my mother go up the stairs with me when I was in her belly. And so I think I was being blessed by my parents' faithfulness before I was even born. The faithfulness of God in their lives and the faithfulness in my life. And there was an instance when I was 13 or 14 years old and I was at a camp and it began to snow in the middle of the summer. And one camp of Boy Scouts actually got stuck. And I think there were even a fatality or two, but ours was not. And we were able to get out at the very beginning of the storm. And a few of us had frostbite, but we're okay. That's a story of God's faithfulness to me in that. I don't know how the other Boy Scouts were. I don't know how that plays out. But at least for me, God helped deliver me in that situation. I remember those stories. Even in the last couple of months, you know, our car in the front of our house was hit in a hit and run. And, you know, the car was paid for. We loved our Mazda 5. But we didn't have enough money to afford another car. And of course, how insurance works, they gave us half the money back because that's what the car was worth. And we're like, how are we going to get another car? How are we going to work this out? And so through various means, through family, through other people of God who knew our plight, through other circumstances, we were able to purchase a Mazda CX-5 that's like, you know, less than 3 years old. I never owned a car this new, you know? And this is me remembering God's faithfulness to me. And I need to remember those personal stories. And you've got personal stories too. When did God do something crazy good in your life? Do you remember those stories? Do you hold on to those stories as you wait on the Lord? So they're the biblical stories, they're the personal stories, and then there's also the corporate stories, the corporate history. Redemption. I have heard from your pastor, my friend, that the Lord has given you particular words, particularly said something to you that he wants you to remember. And if they are from the Lord, and I believe they are, I am neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but you got some of those types in your church. If you believe that's from God, and I think it's from God too because of them types, you know, thank God for them. Write them down. Pray them through. Hold on to them with joy and with encouragement and with anticipation of what God is going to do. Isn't it great to have a God who speaks currently to us and helps us to know what's going on, to help us to go along the way, to help us to know how to wait? Isn't that wonderful? I think it's absolutely glorious. You know, God has given me a word, a recent word. I was on sabbatical some 3 or 4 years ago. And while I was on sabbatical from my job, I said, God, anything you want to particularly tell me besides the general things? And God said, yes, I want you to follow your wife wherever she goes. Follow your wife wherever she goes. My wife is currently in a PhD program, and by God's grace, we're about 18 months away for her to be completed with it. And we've been talking about, you know, when she gets the PhD, might there be job offers in different places here in the U.S. and perhaps around the world? Now, I was born and raised in Oakland. I went to schools in Oakland. I have brothers and sisters and relatives here in Oakland. My history and Oakland's history are tied to one another. I'm paying for this house here in Oakland. I love the city. I love the West Coast. I love where God has let me stay for over 50 years. And I would be really sad to go. But I'd be even sadder to not remember God's history in my life and not to go where God calls me to go. So I will be tearful if a job opens up someplace, Vancouver, who knows? If we move, I will follow ultimately gladly because I believe that God is good and that God loves me. And I need to remember those stories and remember that history and remember what's going on. I will continue to wait on the Lord on that one. My brothers and sisters, as you have this series about waiting on the Lord, I would encourage you too to wait on the Lord because God is good. God loves you. God has great things for you, and God will do great things in you and through you to bless God's greater work in the kingdom, to bless so many others. Oh, Redemption Church. Let us continue together to wait on the Lord. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promise that comes at the end of this chapter of Isaiah that says that those who wait on you will renew their strength, that they'll mount up with wings like eagles, they will run and not be weary, that they will walk and not faint. I thank you, God, for this particular encouragement as we seek to be people who wait on you. Help us, Lord, to be people to prepare the way of our hearts and prepare the ways of others as we wait on you. And help us, Lord, to be people who remember that in different ways in which you've worked in the past, help that to be an encouragement. Times now are tough, challenging, oh God. Yet you continue to be faithful. Help us to be faithful too as we wait on you. We pray these prayers, O God, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen, amen.